everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, Android logos, and Philip K. Dick novels. Maybe not. Hey, my name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and joining me this week are the people you're really here to hear. The door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the late one, Ardini. Hey, gentlemen.
Wow, I'm dead. I don't know. I'm not late. I was here early. I mean, I wasn't tardy. It was just my computer was flipping out. I'm podcasting to you now in recovery mode. My hard drive's on the edge.
So, if you're listening to this as a downloadable audio podcast and the audio doesn't sound quite right, it's because I had to use the YouTube audio and Eric's local recording go boom. But since I'm not a fortune teller, we don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, the good news is Eric is a sensible Linux user, and he had a home on a separate partition, so he could just blow away his program partition and reinstall, and everything will be hunky-dory. So take the moral of this story is build your partitions right from the beginning.
Definitely helped.
Did I do that right?
I'm just assuming. Nod. Just say yes. Say yes.
Okay. Because I don't feel like my partitions are correct.
But did Door help
I'm
you set it up?
I'm with them right now. I think I came to Door after I got to a point. I'm like, yeah, I need Door.
All right. Well, I forgot to mention this is episode 472. I left that out. So, yeah, there you go. Since
473.
473? You put in the notes, 472. In the chat
what
room.
Notes? I don't have any notes. Oh, then I did that wrong, I'm pretty sure.
It's somewhere between 400 and 500.
We kind of lose track, is what I'm going to say.
Speaking of 500, Mark Serrault has already came out with the 500th episode exclusive Android App Addicts watch face.
We've got like 9 months before we get there, but yay.
He was never that early on the other ones, so... I need to get a new watch band for my watch so I can start wearing it again.
So I was here for 200? I haven't been here that long. What was the big, you had a big number just before I got here. Was it 400 maybe?
I'm going to say you were here, if it wasn't 400, it was just after 400.
420? I'm guessing that's when we started with Mark.
No, man, I wouldn't remember that if it was 420. So anyway, since...
This seems right,
since
man.
We're getting a late start and we're not sure how long Eric's computer is going to last, we're going to skip straight to the good stuff. And I'm going to say, Eric, empty the tank.
Oh, man. I'm not ready for this. Oh. As you know, my computer was just booting, so I don't have a real good sense of all of my open browser windows or tabs.
All right, so Dor, go with half a tank, and then we'll come back to Eric.
Thank you.
Okay, I just set the nice up. On OBS, hopefully it comes out clean. The first app I'm going to bring, I'm a little confused by. I think their timing is horrible, but they did it. Marketing at Google, which I was kindly educated on Google Plus, is in fact Google. Because I looked at it, I said, that's not Google. That's some Ponzi scheme thing called marketing at Google. Well, I'm wrong. It is Google itself. They put out an Android Samba client. That's the name of the app. Android Samba client by marketing at Google marked productivity, 66 reviews, 3.3 average reviews, updated July 5th, installs between 5 and 10, current version 1.0. I don't understand this for a couple reasons. One, it's 5 years too late. Everybody who's on Android already has a solution in place. Whether it's FX, File Explorer, or another application that's able to do this. So I don't understand why they're coming out with this now, number one, because of timing. Two, I don't understand why it's coming out because of timing, because we just had WannaCry and all its variants cover the news like a wet blanket, and the main vulnerability in that was Samba. And to actually call it Android Samba client just double confuses me, but this is basically a mini app that will allow you to connect to remote Samba clients on your local network.
No, it's a Samba server too, right? Isn't that allows users to mount an SMB file share in their downloads? Maybe not. Maybe it's just a client. I thought it was a server.
It wouldn't shock me if it had that functionality, but I did not see it when I launched it. I will say
So you can explore from your Windows, from your Android phone to your Windows network. So in other words, what every File Explorer third-party File Explorer already has been doing.
And has been doing for years. The only thing I can think is this is a test functionality that they're going to eventually put into their native File Explorer is the only thing I can think of, which I would say is a good thing. I do feel like there eventually probably will be a day in time where we don't need third-party File Explorers for most normal users or for most tasks. But I don't see that being anytime soon. So if you want to keep your stuff very clean, very thin, you don't need access to OneDrive or FTP type access to a server. All you need is to browse your local shares on your local network. And you want to stay Google centric. Well, then this might be the app for you.
If okay, fine. It's a thing, but you know, Solid Explorer and ES File Explorer and all those things can do that plus so much more. So if you're going to install a secondary app just to browse Samba, it seems a little silly. But hey, it's a thing, so there you go.
I agree. Next app is going to come with a prerequisite, when that is, Mark, we already have a, as far as I'm concerned, official Android App Addicts podcast playing app. You want to fill the new listeners in?
Yeah, so this is an app that began through much ranting of myself. It's called Castback, and that name means podcast and feedback. It allows you to leave feedback in line with a podcast, and it's time synced so that somebody else listening to that same podcast gets a notification that you have made a comment and can read that comment while they're listening to the show, or jump to the part in the show where that comment was made. That's just the killer feature. It's also got every other great feature of every other browser or podcast client out there. I think it's amazing, and I'm really disappointed that so few people are using it. So if you haven't checked it out in a while, it was in an extended beta period, but it's solid now. They even have a paid version if you want to kick the developer a little cash in there. But check it out, Castback.
Yeah, and every overnight success requires years of hard work. So hopefully the day will come for that app. Here's an app that came into the Google Plus feed, though. It's called Castbox. Free podcast and audio. First off, when is it not? Number one. Number two, when it is not free, we call that a failure. Because there's no such thing as a successful paid podcast out there. They don't exist. This is by castbox.fm-radio and podcast and music and audiobook and news and magazines. Okay, horrible grammar in the name alone. Okay, 1,200 reviews, 4.5 average reviews. Updated July 6th, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, version 1.7.3. I just became aware of this morning. Haven't had a lot of time to look it out, but I will say initially, I nearly despise their onboarding process. First thing they want to do is they want to link to your Facebook account. that to me is very poor taste for a podcast application. Their second thing of poor taste is as soon as you either skip that or log in, it wants you to pick topics that you like. So I scrolled down, I picked technology or science and technology, and then it said, you must pick two more. No, I don't. I hate the other categories. They suck. They're putrid. They're bad. So I hit skip again. And then I went through their main interface, and everything in their main interface might as well have been network TV type podcast, as far as I'm concerned, which I truly rank as some of the worst content I've ever listened to. I don't want to listen to Hollywood actors. I don't want to listen to people who really don't care about the content, and they have a team of people that don't understand how to create a podcast doing a podcast. People that don't know how to host a website doing a podcast. People don't understand anything about audio stuff doing a podcast. I don't like those people doing podcasts because they don't care about any of the product. They just do it hoping for a buck. And that's 90% of the content that was pushed towards me in that first screen. Now, with that out of the way, this was a really nice looking application. I gotta say, really pleasing to the eye, very easy to navigate, very easy to search and find around. When I went in and I searched for Podnuts, I saw all my normal type shows with some obligatory like bookmark number to them, like how many people are listening to them, which I find, to be quite frank, very insulting, because there's no way on, in this universal plane we live in, they're accurate. They're not. They're just their personal guess, I think, for content. But for some reason, it's caught on. You heard my download numbers. You heard my install numbers for this app. So there's something about it that a lot of people like. Me, no, me ain't normal. Me, so far, really don't like this app.
This has never happened to me before. This is an app I don't remember, yet it shows my review when I left a review of this app, when I go to this page. And then my review gave it 1 star, and it says, way more ads and less features than all other podcast apps. So whatever was on my crawl that night or day when I was using it, I was not impressed, I guess. But they did offer a beta version for me to try out afterwards with an orange icon.
I'm guessing there's an iPhone version of this, because this says it has less than 500,000 installs, but their copy here says over 5 million users.
Well, then they either must, or again, they can't count. I apparently did bring this back on episode 459, and apparently something did change, because I can tell you, when I loaded this last time, I do not remember it looking like this at all, whatsoever, even close, nothing like this.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all either. It's just, I don't know. And I don't typically leave reviews for things, especially a bad review, too often. Must have been something that really, must have been the ads, maybe. I don't know.
So listen to these features. Subscribe to over 1 million podcast channels, including whatever. Stream or download 50 million plus episodes. Search or listen to your favorite podcast. Discover new and trending podcasts. Listen to podcasts in your native language or trying a new language. Keep track of your subscriptions with Cloud Syncing. So, in other words, it's a podcast app.
Yeah, the only thing I see that this might do different is the language thing. Now, what I didn't see is their language filter, because on a lot of other podcast apps, if I search for Linux, for instance, if I don't look at it carefully, the whole podcast will be in Spanish or French or another language. So if this can actually say, only show me English podcasts back, I'd say that's a plus. It's a small plus, but it's a plus. But I honestly don't think it does that. I think what they're saying is the opposite. We have all languages.
Right. Exactly. There's stuff out there in other languages. Yeah, it says 50 million episodes. Well, Dor, between you and me, we could put a pretty good chunk in that number.
It does have a sleep timer, though.
Yeah, and there is no in-app purchases. There is no ads. If you scroll down farther, it says benefits for podcasters. No hosting fees, 100% free, which means yes. Either they're inserting ads into the audio, which it isn't hard to do that, or there is some kind of ads that they don't register with Google.
Well, number 10 in the list of features is ads-free version purchase available spending only $1.99. You can get your ad-free version of Podcast Player.
Yeah, I don't see it even saying in-app purchases.
Mine says in-app products, $4.99 per item, even though the ad-free part above says $1.99. This is, there's nothing right about this.
It's all hype. And it's meaningless that marketing.
That's extremely why I probably left it 1 star. I'm getting mad not even trying the app again.
This is marketing doublespeak.
Yeah, this is bad.
Well, Mark, let me then bring something that will energize your synergy and bring you to a new pivot point that is brand new onto the market scene.
Bingo.
Exactly. I like the idea of programming a lot, and I do believe everybody who goes through today's schools should learn at least some basic programming. But one of the biggest arguments is, well, then what kind of programming? I looked at this app called Grasshopper by Area 21 Education, 16 reviews, 4.1 average reviews, June 20th updated between 1,000 and 5,000 installs, version 1.0.2. And when I went through some of the basic things, I honestly could not pick up, because I'm not, you know, an expert, what programming language this was. It seemed like it taught more basics and fundamentals about programming versus to a specific programming language.
Yeah, this is pseudocode.
I thought that, but I honestly didn't want to say it out loud because, you know, didn't want to be dumb. Because I wasn't sure. And I liked the idea of this. So I immediately sat my kid in front of it, and my kid is now habitually addicted to my 3D printer. So I told him now, every day, I want you to go through this for at least a couple minutes before you're able to print anything on the printer. And he has, and he says he's learned a little bit, you know, on how to do stuff. So it's a start, is my logic.
So is it similar to BASIC?
I would say it's probably a hybrid between C#, Python, and BASIC, somewhere in between, because it's a very non-advanced code that I'm seeing.
Yeah, this is just to show you the basic fundamentals. And just, I mean, they don't give you much information at all, but it looks like they're at least following good basic principles, like, you know, camel humping your variables and things like that. So, I mean, it seems like a fine thing, but don't expect to actually learn to code from this.
Right.
It's kind of dip your toes in a little bit, if you're curious.
It's teaching you logic or teaching you to employ logic using a code.
Cool.
Very cool. Are you ready, Eric?
I got a couple. Sure. I will start them out with a very untimely app that I should have brought last week, but I'm going to bring it so I can uninstall it off my phone. I feel that this is still being in use. When I listened to the newscast today, actually, Iowa. So let me give you a little geography lesson in government.
And a postal link.
So the new governor of Iowa, or the old governor of Iowa, is the new ambassador to China. It's kind of weird, you know, how that happened. And also at the same time, all fireworks became legalized in Iowa this June, right before that happened. I'm not saying that there was any collusion or anything there that would make those two things have anything to do with one another, but it just seems like that's where a lot of fireworks may come from, and he is now their ambassador. And they were very strict on their laws for fireworks prior to that. And now the cities, after having a horrendous 4th of July with all these rookies playing with big, big fireworks, all the cities are going in and making their own ordinances, rebanning all of that crap. So this app I'm bringing is called Nail'em, and it's basically a way to, it's only in New York, I believe, currently, but it's a way to narc on your neighbors using your mobile device to tell them that there's illegal fireworks being used or sold near you, and you can take pictures and easily report to the authorities. So maybe keep that in your pocket for next year.
Well, I'll first say there's no way Iowa could even add 0.1% of income to the fireworks sales. With companies like Disney being the number one the number one buyer of explosive ordnance, period. The only one greater is the U.S. military, who technically buys that. So the dent is going to be minimal. In the screenshot, it's showing California.
Oh, maybe it's California.
As at least the place. One Capitol Mall, Sacramento, California, 95814. I personally, over the last couple of years, have completely flip-flopped on fireworks, residentials, individuals with fireworks. And it's only because I've now, because of the podcast and all the amount of people who I communicate with, which before I was very happy to be in my house by myself all day. I really despise the idea of adding any trauma to any veterans of any shape, way, and form. I personally believe it should be illegal, period, in every state to shoot fireworks off out front of your house, period, because you never know when your neighbor has been through a war, is a veteran who's done everything they can to help this country, to defend innocent people, to help innocent people, whatever. And then you're causing their PSD, let's say, to itch. You know, it isn't cool, it isn't kosher, it isn't right, it isn't proper, it's not ethical, it's not moral. You should be able to take your fireworks, if you want to use them, to pre-designated areas to shoot them off, in my personal opinion. And if you don't agree with me, I don't care, go away, listen to another podcast. Because without veterans, without volunteers volunteering to do the task that they're doing, we as a country don't have much, is my logic. Rant done. Sorry.
Can I tell you a crazy fireworks story? It is the first show after Independence Day. Back in college, one of my many jobs was running sound for local bands. I had some sound gear, and I would set up the gear and run the sound and stuff. And I was in this little town called Lone Oak, Texas, probably 1,000 residents.
And the volunteer fire department, Bubba and Jim Bob and Joe Buck, managed to get a hold of some of the big fancy fireworks. And for the town's celebration out at the town square, there was a pavilion. And there was a band there. That's the reason I was there. There were actually all-day bands. And at the end of the night, it was the fireworks display. And then after the fireworks, the band was going to play some more. So I was there, you know, doing the sound thing. And typically, when you're setting off these professional-grade fireworks, you're a mile from civilization. Well, Billy Bob and Joe Buck and Jim Frank or whatever were like, I don't know, 75 feet away from the audience. And launching these, and first thing, you know, it's like neck strain because they're going 1,000 feet up in the air. And you know, you're looking straight up. Secondly, what most people don't realize is how much flaming debris falls straight back down, when you launch those things. So it's like fire and brimstone. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, stuff falling from the sky. I'm running around trying to cover my gear so that it doesn't catch on fire. The rednecks, on the other hand, are, you know, just pouring their beer on the flaming embers on the ground and just going on with the show. About halfway through, one of the giant rockets falls over before it's launched. Launches out into the audience, lands in a lady's lawn chair. It's one of those old style, you know, weaved canvas and aluminum lawn chairs. She dives out of the chair just before it explodes. It sets the chair on fire. A couple of guys around her grab their coolers and stuff and dump ice on it to put the water out. She gets up, sits back down in the chair, and goes on with the show, people. And this is the most redneck experience of my life. I've never been more terrified than the local volunteer fire department setting off professional-grade fireworks.
Job security.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, now we understand why the residents of Pompeii just sat there.
They were all drunk rednecks.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my fireworks story.
Nice. That's a good one.
And another app, Eric?
I do. This one comes from my friend, Dor. He said that it's like an Eric app, and he was pretty much right. So, this one is called Rodeo Star, Rodeo Stampede Sky Zoo Safari. And basically, it's a sort of an endless runner where you have to lasso and then jump onto other animals as you're going down the path. Once one gets tired, you have to bail and get on a different animal. And there's different things you can find along the way and stuff, but it's mostly you're going for the distance.
It's like quasi 8-bit Minecraft style graphics.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a fun game, really. It's tough though. It's kind of hard. It's more difficult than I'm used to, as far as these kind of games go, and there's a little bit more to it. So I didn't get super far in it, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'll say this. It didn't look easy, but I did like the style of it. If you stay on an animal too long, they kind of go flippo crazy. So you have to keep jumping up in the air, swinging your lasso, connecting with another animal, and riding it. And there's all kinds of animals, and your goal is, each time you lasso an animal, it ends up in your zoo. Very Western culture like. And like one of the animals you can get that is really good is a elephant that just runs through everything. Rocks, trees, other animals, all kinds of stuff.
And the gameplay was nice. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head how it went, but I remember saying this is a little different gameplay and I like the controls of it. The way they had that set up was very well done. Wow, there was one I just saw where the animal actually throws you
right
onto the next animal. I'm not sure what that was.
Up.
I didn't get that
far. 10 million to 50 million installs.
Ooh.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, that's a lot.
What you got next?
My next one's another hard game. It was too involved and too much for me to hang with. Although the idea was neat, it's called Armpit Hero VIP. With a name like that, I knew I had to be in. And basically, there's a boy who flies with his armpit hair. This is all anime. And then his girlfriend, I can't remember what dysfunction she had. She was really messed up, too, and somehow. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't armpit hair, but it was something else weird. There's a whole story that goes along with it. But it was just too much of a
wow.
Involved game that I couldn't get into it too much. But it was well drawn, I guess I would say. It's a pretty game, side scroller.
Game features. Number one, infinite killing action.
There you go.
Yeah. If you're into that, that's good.
Yeah, and to me it looks almost like a bullet hell kind of game where there's stuff like easily overloading your senses. Like there's so much stuff on the screen at one time.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was guiding me through at the beginning. And I don't even know if I got all the way through the guidance of it. It was just, I just felt like, oh, there's no way I can comprehend all of this. But after I played for a little while, my girlfriend like joined me to help along with the quest, I guess.
So what did your wife say?
Well, this is my Android app world, so I didn't let her know yet. Is there a point where I'm supposed to?
I don't know. But there is a free version. This one is 99 cents. We will have the link in the show to the free version if you just want to check it out.
Oh, I paid for this one. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I better go back and get my money's worth then, huh?
Maybe, yeah, sure.
All right, I'll start playing it again. That's all. I think that's all I've got right now. All
right. Door, the Ooh, other half of your intake.
Okay, since Eric brought a kind of crazy-looking game, I'm going to bring another crazy-looking game that is not kid-friendly, okay? It's not in any shape or form kid-friendly. It's called Skullgirls. And I believe Skullgirls was a racing game on PC, Mac, and Linux. So I saw Skullgirls, I thought, awesome, let me check it out. Either I have the name wrong, or this is the same name but completely different game. This is by Line Corporation, 2,700 reviews, T for teen. In my humble opinion, this is at least 15 or up, I would say. 3.9 average reviews, updated June 9th, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. Current version 1.2.2. Content rating, teen, violence, blood, suggestive themes, partial nudity, and language. Now I think you understand what I'm saying. And there is a video for it in the store. And the video, to me, reminds me a lot of what the art style that Eric just had on his armpit game. Except in traditional Western male-created games, they completely utilize the physics engines on female bodies. And that's as far as I'm taking that. It's almost like a Street Fighter-esque fighter game, but it's more of a tap, swipe, double tap, making like shapes almost to do your fighting techniques. The actual fighting, I'm going to say, was pretty good. A hell of a lot of words, though. A hell of a lot of words in this game, where it, like, will constantly, for the first couple minutes, stop every couple seconds and tell you, well, if you do this, it will do that. If you do this, it will do that. And then, you know, after each round, you can get like health upgrades, attack upgrades, all that kind of stuff. So it's packed tight with words. But I will say it was genuine fun, even though not really kid friendly whatsoever.
So one of the reviews by DLF the Meme Lord says, to be honest, this is an okay port of a good game. In general, the game has some of the best visuals I've ever seen in a 2D fighter. However, the mobile version isn't as good as the second Encore, despite the fact that it retains its gorgeous and stunning visuals. But as I said, it's an okay port. So you it is a game, but maybe not the game you thought it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
It kind of looks like, does it play like Street Fighter?
Yes and no. Street Fighter was much more complicated, control scheme, much more buttons. And there was no upgrade paths. It's a side fighter, and that's where the similarities almost end with Street Fighter.
Okay.
This is almost like some of those Neo Geo games that we saw with fighting, where they were more, I don't want to say artsy-like, but tap, swipe, circle to do techniques instead of Street Fighter, you know, button mashing and very precise combinations. What I got next, I honestly believe also came in Google Plus. Cannot remember who it was. And I almost despise these things, I'm going to say. But this honestly had me at least a little bit interesting. Top 10 list of anything by Trang Ho. Lifestyle T for teen, 187 reviews, average 4.3, updated May 1st, installs 1,000, 5,000, current version 1.7. To me, this is an interesting app, but I hate, again, the onboarding process. First thing it wants you to do is to either sign up, sign in, continue with Facebook, or sign in with Google, or me, top right, click skip, because I don't want any of this anywhere. It tells you, like, top 10 facts about, like, the Super Bowl, or top 10 things about the Ming Dynasty that you didn't know. I'm not completely sure all of it is factual, is what I'm going to say. But some of it I did read was at least, you know, interesting is what I'm going to say. None of them are short. Each one of the things that they list does come with a full, like, paragraph long description of what it's talking about. It isn't just, hey, you know, this is red. It will actually go into tell you why it's red, when it's red, and, you know, and how that impacts it, kind of thing.
That's a good discovery to expand your mind a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and if you're the kind of person that likes going into meetings and just being able to make weird stuff to catch people's attention off guard, did you know that, you know, and then, you know, just to make them make sure that they're listening is what I'm going to say. This next one I'm going to bring, I did not get a chance to look at, but it was one of those things that just looked gorgeous enough for me to at least check out. And unfortunately, there is a video for it in the store. It's called Lineage 2 Revolution by Netmarble Games. 119,000 reviews. Does have in-app ads, does have in-app purchases. 4.3 average reviews, updated June 14th, between 1 million and 5 million installs. Current version 0.15.81. Teen blood violence. If this, I would say this is just normal teen kind of stuff. I only got a chance to load it up and just play it for literally a couple seconds. And what I got to say is, gorgeous. This is the kind of game I'm really shocked they can pull off on a handheld computer.
Is the gameplay anything like the video?
Those are all the cut scenes. I don't believe you actually... I thought near the end you actually saw gameplay.
This game is incompatible with all your devices. So there's that. I don't know what you have to have, but...
Oh, yeah. Same here. What'd you install it on?
Now it says it with mine. I installed it on my Honor 8. Maybe I sideloaded it.
The cutscenes look awesome.
Yeah, the cinematics are pretty amazing.
It's photorealistic. I mean, I wouldn't even... Until you see the people's faces, you think it is just you're watching a movie.
Yeah, very impressive game that I won't be able to play. Thanks, Dor.
Well, I'll say with all of these kind of things, what I highly encourage you to do, keep it in your queue, put it in your wish list, and then if you want to, go back and check it out in a little bit and see if it loads. What I'll say is the game looks good. It doesn't look that good, but the game definitely looks good. If you go to just YouTube and just search for Lineage 2 Revolution Android, you'll see it being played.
All right, what's next?
Next I'm going to bring is Predator, Astromine. Oh, I'm going to bring this just because I've had to actually type out some things. I've had off of work since Monday. Monday was my Friday because I got doctor's appointments for the kids and everything, and I actually had to do some typing. And I loaded this called Enlightened Code Editor Unreleased. On my Pinebook that I got, I'm able to boot to my SD card. So I put Android on it, boot up to it, see what it was like, loaded this code editor. And I got to say, I think it worked really good. This says it's a unreleased app by 0x Fireball. It's because it's unreleased, no reviews or counted reviews between 5,000, 10,000 installs. Hasn't been updated since March. It's just a simple minimalist, is their words, not mine, code editor. I like the fact there's not crazy toolbars. There's not a whole bunch of stuff in my way. I can just type. And you can pick syntax highlighting for the code itself. Me, I was already loading up the files with the proper extension, so I guess it just picked it up all magically and knew how to highlight it. So it just worked.
Cool.
What were you typing?
I was trying to mess with a little bit of CSS for a new site I was playing with the idea of.
Cool.
But, you know, I suck at CSS, so every time I saved it, what was that? Oh, yeah, it was ugly. So I, you know, stopped doing that.
All right, one more. Give us your best shot.
Oh, best? Oh, man, don't pressure me or anything. I'm going to bring this one. It does say teen for teen. My son is 12. I played it for a little bit. I thought it was okay, so I let him play it. This is called, I already forgot the name, Last Day on Earth Survival Game. There is some multiplayer aspect to it. I didn't check it out, and I forgot to ask him if he tried it. This is by Kefir, K-E-F-I-R.
Kiefer. Kiefer. Exclamation point.
Okay. Teen in-app purchases, no ads, 21,000 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, updated June 30th, between 1 million and 5 million installs, version 1.4.3. So if there is multiplayer, you should have more than enough people to multiplayer with. This is almost like a high-def version of Minecraft, is the way that I pitched it to him. There's a lot of crafting, a lot of surviving, but definitely more combat-focused. There are basically, this is like the apocalypse kind of thing, and you have to defend your turf against other humans. I do think that there's some kind of other creatures involved, but I don't think I ever saw them. It does say zombies. I don't think I ever saw zombies. I had to defend my place from other humans trying to come in and loot all my stuff.
Were you online when you did that?
I don't think I was. No, I just started up like a single player thing. I don't think the other people were real. I'll say that. Because they were too easy to kill.
Oh, I just see myself walking into a multiplayer game like this and just getting slaughtered within seconds. Like, oh, yeah, there he is. Oh, hit points. We just got more gold.
And then, like, having them speaking ill about your mother.
Yeah, all that comes with it, the weird positions and everything.
Yeah. He definitely had a little bit of fun, but I honestly think when he got into the shooting fights, he was like, I'd rather just craft, Dad.
Well, nice.
So I tried.
That's good. Hey, so it's Kiefer, K-E-F-I-R, with an exclamation point behind it. Have you guys ever drank Kiefer? Are you Kiefer drinkers?
Never heard of it.
Mark?
Yeah. Mark?
Oh, no. Okay. Well, Kiefer is a fermented milk or dairy drink. It's as good as that sounds. It's said that if you drink Kiefer, you can live to be 100. It's made by the Lifeway Corporation from like Israel or something. I've drank it quite a few times. It's pretty good. I like the strawberry kind.
So you're saying it's big in China?
It's big in probably Israel, I'm thinking.
So, well, because the reason I say that is because China has at last count over 100,000 people over the age of 100.
Milk does your body good, but spoiled milk will make you live forever?
Yeah, well, kefir is supposed to be really good. It's got probiotics in it. Just like kombucha, that's what the Chinese drink.
I'm just going to say right now, because I don't care. Probiotics is crap. It's complete crap. Because 99.8% of those probiotics, by the time you consume them, are dead.
What if you grow it in your basement?
Then you're probably going to have a really... You better be really close to the bathroom, is what I'm going to say.
I got to make myself another batch of the booch.
Because the latest fad.
I got some new bottles.
Essential oils and gut culture. Okay? We've been perfectly fine for millennia, not trying to manipulate our gut culture, and now all of a sudden, oh, you must do it.
Well,
we have to get the right balance.
Monsanto messed up our gut culture.
No, and part of the problem is gut culture is probably more unique than DNA. It's more likely I'm going to share 99.99999% DNA with multiple people on the face of the earth, and the diversity you can get with the culture in your intestines, in your lower intestines, is much more of a broad range. So,
for all you know, that
probiotic you're taking is actually causing your gut culture to be completely discombobulated.
I believe you. We went to OLF together. We probably share more DNA than gut culture.
Yeah. Can you tell I hate the latest woo-woo marketing stuff?
I'm just going to play devil's advocate just a little bit. But
Kiefer's not bad. I'm just saying.
While you're on the subject of gut biomes, we probably come into contact with fewer organic DNA bacteria in our lives today than at ever time in history. Because you can't find a soap that isn't antibacterial. Everything in our life is antiseptic. You know, kids, everything is sterile. I mean, I used to go out and eat dirt. Right. And that was just the way things are. Humanity spent a lot of their time eating dirt and feces in generations past.
You can say that. I'm pretty sure my kid's tablet is dirtier than any bike or skateboard that I handled. Number two, didn't the FDA just outlaw antibacterial soaps?
That's what I've heard of.
I don't know.
Yeah. Less than a year ago, they basically said they're all now banned because they're causing super bacteria.
Well, you can't go to the store and buy soap that isn't antibacterial. Not in Georgia.
I used Purell the other day, and I know that's pretty heavy duty.
anyway, I don't want to go too far down this road. But get the vaccinations, people.
Yes, please.
It's a
unless you believe in gut culture, then don't get your vaccine and just stay inside your house.
All right. Now, let's wrap this up. Eric, other than back up early and back up often, do you have any words of wisdom for our audience tonight?
well, don't be too quick to think that your deeper sonar fish finder is going to come to the right location. The follow up from last week's show is that I got this great message yesterday from eBay. It's like, your package is delivered to a town called Crooks, South Dakota, even though it said my address on there, but then it said has been delivered, Crooks, South Dakota. And I was like, Crooks, South Dakota, that's just like thrown at my face that they were crooks, isn't it? You know? So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this thing. I don't know how they do that. They must have gave me some wrong tracking number, I guess. It was a week later than it was supposed to be here, and then it got delivered to a whole different part of the country. I don't know. So I filed the complaint, asked the seller what's up, and now I got to wait till another 6 days for them to respond and all this stuff. And I mean, if it ends up coming through, I still save $200, so it's worth it, I guess. But it'll be ice fishing time by the time I get the thing, which I don't ice fish.
Sometimes when you save money, it costs you in time.
It's not like I'm losing anything. I'm probably not going to buy it but for this cheap way to get it, so it's not, I'm not unproductive waiting.
So you made a donation to an underprivileged family in China.
I'll get my money back, and PayPal and eBay will have my back in the end. I'd just rather have the product.
How much was it?
I paid $36.
You gotta look again then, son.
At what?
I'm pretty sure nothing is guaranteed on eBay until you pay, I want to say, $50.
No.
Yeah? There's a minimum limit, yeah. There is a minimum amount they will refund you. If it's below a certain amount, that'll start
with $37.
Probably $35. That was $34.99 for this thing.
I could be wrong, but I'm willing to put money on it right now. I'm not. I might be wrong with the number.
I'm sure I'll have an update for next week in the saga.
On the bright side, Eric. But on the bright side, your beard looks magnificent.
Yes. It's a month away from being gone, so we're hey, I traded in my my soldering iron for a chainsaw now. Once a month, I did use the chainsaw again the other day, and I used power tools all weekend doing some woodwork. I've got computer issues. I need to shave this beard back off so I can get back to, being a hermit in my basement. This is too much manliness for me.
All right. I got nothing to follow that. So I'll just simply say, Dorf, what do you have to say to our audience in a way of goodbye?
Well, I'll be sneaky and I'll put another app in. Ooh, and that app is
Dorf.
is Patreon. If you like this network, if you want to support this network, if you want to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, or you can just simply install the Patreon app and search for Android App Addicts, and you can find us right there. You can get mobile updates the split second I publish the audio show, aka maybe an hour and a half from now. You can get this in your RSS feed, because Patreon now supports RSS feeds. So if you don't want to wait until Sunday or Monday, I think it's Sunday night, to get the show, you can get it hours after we do the show via Patreon. It only costs you as little as $1 a month. And if it's the kind of thing you like to support, then that is a very painless way to do it.
All right. And even on an abbreviated night where we started late and kind of rushed through things, we brought you 12 solid apps. Well, 12 apps anyway. Beginning with Android Samba Client by Marketing at Google, Castback free podcast and audio. Excuse me, Castbox free podcast and audio by Castbox.fm. Grasshopper by Area 120, Nalum by AppOrder.com, Rodeo Stampede Sky Zoo Safari by Yodo One Games, Armpit Hero VIP by Candy Soft Inc., Skull Girls by Lion Corporation, Top 10 Lists of Everything by Trang Ho, Lineage 2 Revolution by Net Marble Games, Enlightened Code Editor, unreleased, by 0x Fireball,
Last Day on Earth, Survival by Kefir, and Patreon by Patreon. So there you go. For those people who say we don't say the apps enough, just rewind that a couple of times. Good night, everybody. Appreciate you letting me hang out with you, and remember to pay for what you like. Bye, everybody.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is Everyday Tech for Everyday People. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.